today is a special day. We are going to commission Abraham and Jordan Skaysel for their ministry to the campus of Penn State University with the International Mission Crew. I think it was about 2 years ago they came up here, stood at this pulpit, and told us how they have been called to go and be a part of this mission to Penn State University. And for 2 years, they've been raising support, and they've reached 100%. So that's really exciting. Some of you may or may not be familiar with the ministry of CRU, though you might know it by its original name, Campus Crusade for Christ, founded by Bill Bright. Our church has, he once had a bright idea, I think, and founded this thing. I told my wife I was going to name the sermon A Bright Idea, and she's like, no, you're not going to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm still going to tell the joke, though. So, Dave and Jane, did you guys meet through Campus Crusade for Christ? No. You were part of Crusade. Yeah, but that's not where you met. Okay, all right. I understand you two did meet through CRU, right? So it's a great matchmaking ministry as well as an introduction to the Lord Jesus. Our church has supported CRU missionaries for several decades. Many of you will remember Tim McGill with Athletes in Action. Tim was a CRU missionary, and Athletes in Action is a CRU ministry. I'm not going to recount for you the history of CRU, but it's worth learning about. CRU is a great ministry that has reached out to millions with the gospel of Jesus Christ since the 1960s. And it has spawned lots of great ministries like Family Life Today. Do you ever hear that on the radio? That's a ministry of CRU. Or Josh McDowell, or Athletes in Action, things like that. But the bread and butter of this ministry has always been reaching out to students on college campuses. Campus Crusade for Christ. And that's what Abe and Jordan have been called to do. They were discipled. They met at CRU at Penn State. They were discipled by CRU at Penn State. They were trained as leaders at CRU at Penn State. And now they are called, both of them, to go back to that campus as missionaries to Penn State University. And here's what I want us to do this morning. First, I want to ask Abe and Jordan to come on up here and give us a little taste of what their ministry will be like. What will they be doing over there? It's so exciting that after all these months, they are at 100% supported. But now, what are they? What are they going to be doing? What does this mean that they'll be missionaries on the campus of Penn State? What will their ministry consist of? What is the goal? What's the vision? What is the mission? And then secondly, after that, I want us to look at a very short portion of Scripture that speaks to their mission and helps us to know how we can pray for their mission. And it also speaks to our mission as everyday followers of Jesus Christ. And then at the end, we'll gather around them and pray for the Skaysels as they embark on this mission for Jesus. So Abe and Jordan, would you come on up here, both of you, and share?
We're just going to kind of share a little bit about what a typical week looks like, as well as kind of what we've been able to do the last month or so of school at Penn State. And so a typical week for us is really framed by both our mission and then our job description as well, which is to win, build, and send Christ-centered multiplying disciples. And so what that win, build, send breaks down to is winning students to Christ means evangelism. So we want to tell students about the gospel and invite them to commit their lives to following Christ. Building then is that we want to disciple students and build them into mature believers to grow in their faith throughout college. And then sending is we want to send those students, whether as missionaries themselves or missionaries wherever they go in the workplace, wherever they go after school, that they would also take the gospel with them and contribute to their local churches as well. And so the typical week then is kind of framed by that. And so we'll do various things. For example, for an hour on Wednesdays and Thursdays every week, both those days we do evangelism on the campus. And typically that is, you know, we'll find students typically in the hub or the student union building in the middle of campus around lunchtime. There's lots of students there, and we'll go and start conversations with students, ask them about their beliefs. And we have a couple different evangelism tools that CRU's developed. And sometimes it's students we know we're following up with students we met with before, but sometimes we're just walking up to a random student in the hub and starting a conversation with them. Which, when I first did it, I was like, that can't work. but it does, and it's really neat to see the results of that. We also meet up with students a lot one-on-one. So we might be coaching some of our student leaders who are leading Bible studies or men's ministry or things like that. We also pray as a staff team and have on Tuesday mornings is like our kind of our staff planning time where we'll kind of follow up on the different roles we have and how things are going. We might have a retreat upcoming that we're planning for, things like that. And then Monday and Fridays, if we're not meeting with students especially, are a lot of just kind of office work of, you know, emailing students, contacting students, setting up different events we might have going on and things like that. That's most of it. And some of that changes by the semester depending on what the schedule looks like or what students we're mentoring. I guess discipleship mentoring, that's a big one I miss too, is not just coaching student leaders, but investing in our students and building them. I'm meeting one-on-one with them. We have a kind of a curriculum cruise developed that we go through with them that covers a variety of things from assurance of salvation to evangelism, stewardship, all different topics like that to build them as believers throughout their college time. So we're going to kind of share a couple stories now of even just in the last month, some of the things we've been able to do.
Yeah, so even though the end of the semester is here, we reported at the beginning of April, so we didn't really have a lot of time on the campus, which also meant that we didn't really have an official role on our staff team yet because they were all winding down and we were just gearing up, and so it was kind of a weird time. So we had to kind of figure out, okay, what can we do while we're here? And we were so excited to get amped up, but the students are exhausted from the school year, so when we were out evangelizing, I was with one of the girls who's an intern. She actually was in my class at Penn State, so we were pretty close while we were in school. We went up to a girl. Her name was Tia, and we talked with her kind of about like what her beliefs were, and she said that she is a Christian, but she kind of feels like at college it's not really part of her life because every time she brings it up, people just shut her down. She said, "I'll be in a room with my friends, and the minute I say anything, any of the buzzwords that have to do with faith, I just get shut down." And so she said, "Don't really bring it up or talk about it," which was just heartbreaking to me because just feeling on a campus, like, I can't even say this because no one's gonna want to hear me if I do. And so we talked with her a little bit about what Crew is and that there are all of these people on the campus who are believers, even if it doesn't appear that way on the surface. And so I actually was able to meet up with her. A little while later, she came to a Bible study with me, which was super exciting. A lot of times, we'll have students who are like, "Yeah, I'll come, I'll do it," and then come the day of, they back out. But this was, I was like, "Oh my goodness, she actually came!" And afterwards, I talked with her a little bit, and she said, "I definitely needed this. This was really important." And she said, "I have some questions about some of the things we talked about. I'm just like, would like more explanation." And I said, "Well, I'm here to do that." So we met up later for lunch and kind of answered some of those questions. And we're looking forward to meeting back up in the fall. She's really involved in Thon. And so Crew has kind of a couple students who kind of focus on Thon and has some Thon dancers. And so that's an awesome opportunity through something that most people at Penn State are passionate about, Thon. And hopefully that'll kind of be an avenue for her to get involved with Crew as well. So it was a really special story, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her more.
I have to try to pick one story. So the one I'll talk about, so we actually have a staff couple on our team at Penn State who recently, a couple years ago, started a Crew ministry at Lock Haven as well. And they were having, I think it was that first week we were on campus, or maybe the second one, and they were having kind of a Penn State Lock Haven crew. So we went over on a Tuesday night with them, and went to their meeting, and then did evangelism with the couple students they have there. It's a pretty small group that they have right now. But it was neat because we got to go, and I got to teach one of their students how to do evangelism on their campus. And so being able to not only invest in Penn State, but through our Penn State ministry also branch out to other universities that are nearby to reach students there as well. And just seeing someone who... She was scared to death to talk about her faith for the first time, but I think really felt comfortable by the end of it that she would still be nervous, but she had an idea of, okay, how do I share my faith with someone else on my own campus, which was really neat. So coming up this summer, there's still some of the things we're not quite sure what we're doing this summer, and that's just kind of a result of us reporting and being fully funded towards the end of spring, and they're kind of trying to figure out what to do. But some things we do know for the summer is that in July, we'll have a national staff conference with Crew, and so we'll go and they'll kind of talk about the direction our movement as a whole in the U.S. is going, give us some updates on that. As well as in mid-August, we'll have a staff retreat with our staff team where we will go and really, we've already started planning for the fall, but really kind of nail down the details of what we're going to do and what that's going to look like. And even just kind of, you know, what the message series are going to be and things like that.
So right after our staff retreat, we'll go to a retreat with students at Raisetown Lake. And that's just kind of taking what the staff team has planned and kind of the vision that we've come up with and casting that to students and getting them really excited. And so this year we were really lucky to have kind of a little bit of planning happen in April. And the reason for that is if we get momentum built in April, then we can just keep that going, and come August, we're really ready to get out there because it's such an important time for reaching freshmen. The summer as well is an important time for that. I've actually been kind of one of the things that we're able to do with, you know, kind of a little bit more on our own. I've been on Facebook. It's an incredibly useful tool for meeting incoming freshmen. There's actually a Facebook page for all of the incoming freshmen, and there's about 8,000 students on it. Now, not all of them are going to post, and not all of them are going to be active in it, but I was kind of looking through that, and it's actually really neat. Through Facebook, you can search the posts that are there, so I've been searching words like faith, Christian, even crew, just to find students who are really passionate about their faith and want to continue that in college. And so I was able to message a few students to just tell them about crew, what it is, and kind of let them know, you know, come August, we'd love for you to get involved right away. We have lots of events in the first couple weeks of class. I also found a student who said, anyone who wants to do Christian-y things or find a church up at Penn State, comment here. And there were about 30 students. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. Like, these are students who are looking for this. And so I messaged him, and he's able to kind of pass the info along to those students. But what's heartbreaking on this page, so I said there are like 8,000 students in the group. I would say maybe 2,000 have posted something so far, kind of introducing themselves. And there were only maybe 10 who mentioned anything in their posts about faith or Christian or church, anything like that. I know that there are more students who probably would have, but they're worried that if they do, they're not going to find a roommate or they're not going to find any friends because no one wants to associate with someone who's, you know, a Bible-thumping person. But it's encouraging still to see those students who do, because if they post something like that, it means that they really want to get involved and they're really passionate. And we want to catch them where they are. There was actually a student, I saw a post that she said, it kind of seemed like partying maybe wasn't her thing in high school, but she said, in college, I want to go out or party because I want to find friends. And that's not the only way to find friends on the campus. So that was really heartbreaking to me to see that these students are coming into college thinking, I have to live this college life or else I'm not going to have any friends. And that's absolutely not the case. And so it's just showing me even more and more how important it is that we're there and how important it is that we reach these freshmen. I mean, other students too that are coming, like junior transfers or someone who's transferring their sophomore year, but it's just so important to reach these freshmen now, because once they get involved in the party scene, it's a lot harder to get them out of it.
Kind of share. We don't know exactly what our roles are going to be on the team yet, but we kind of have an idea of some things, at least some of them. One is that Jordan and I, as new staff, a lot of times it just makes sense that we'll kind of be in charge of our freshman team that we have, of recruiting freshmen, building community among the freshmen, because we're kind of freshman staff too, and so it just kind of fits in well. It's like, oh, you're new, so are we, in a way. And so that will be something we're doing, a lot of recruiting freshmen and, building that community among them. As well as perhaps for me, leading a ministry we do at Penn State called Pure Desire, which is helping young men and women with purity and pursuing that in college, which is something that's, I mean, it's really rampant in our culture, and especially on a college campus, and a lot of people struggle with.
I wanted to add something to that. I also might be leading the women's group of that. It's all but confirmed that I did it as a student, and it's just a great ministry. But I think what's unique about the women's side of things, a lot of women are in this ministry because they have things like maybe an eating disorder or struggle from severe anxiety. And I think it's a great outlet to help these women cope with those things throughout college. It's a super tight-knit group, a confidential group, and I've just seen so much growth take place in it with women who are going into these groups, likely never having told anyone the things that they share in the group. And there's just so much freedom that comes from that. Maybe things that happened when they were 10 years old that they're just now talking about because they were so afraid to tell anyone when they were 10 years old that they just hid it for that many years. 10 years, you know, 8 years. So it's just an awesome opportunity that we have to get to lead those students in that ministry. And I'm also really excited about discipleship, like Abe said, getting to mentor students one-on-one. That was the most influential thing for me going through college and getting to do that then for other students. I was told about 2 weeks after we got on campus that there was a girl who, her current discipler is graduating, so she will need someone to disciple her. She's my best friend's sister-in-law, so we have a lot of connections, and she wanted to be discipled by me, so I'm really excited about that. She's super sweet, and I'm excited to continue that relationship going forward.
Then to close, telling you what we'll be doing, I figure with the faith at work, I think you usually ask to share joys and challenges, and so I figured I'd do that too, for kind of what we're doing right now. Some of the joys, evangelism has just been a joy to do. It'd been kind of a couple years, you know, since we'd been on campus and been doing that regularly, and so I was nervous to do it again, and it's like, I don't know if the culture on campus has changed that much, but going with our other staff team and even just kind of relearning from them and continuing to learn, you know, how do I share the gospel effectively with these students has really been a joy, as well as seeing our students be passionate about evangelism too. Meeting new students has been a joy for both of us as well. A lot of the students who are there now weren't there when we were students, and so it's been really a joy to meet and an encouragement to meet, you know, these believers on Penn State's campus and get to know them. And seeing their passion for prayer, which I think is something that's changed since I was a student. There's a couple women particularly who have really headed up wanting to see our movement more dependent in prayer. And so every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., which is hard to get college students to come to a lot of times, but they had a prayer meeting. Our staff would always go with them. And it's been really neat to see them depending on the Lord through prayer. Challenges right now, one was just jumping in at a weird time in the semester. And with that, like Jordan said, we didn't have real defined roles those couple weeks we were there. And like I said, our summer's still a little bit up in the air because they're trying to figure out what to do because we came in at a weird time. So that's a challenge right now, but there's definitely lots of joys, and we're looking forward to whatever happens this summer and in the fall, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then prayer requests currently for our ministry, I would definitely say figuring out this summer. One of those options could be traveling for 6 weeks out to Colorado, which I'm very much of a planner and very much I like to know what I'm doing, and so having a spur of the moment decision like that would be really hard for us to kind of figure out and cope with. And so I know there's a lot of anxiety and just stress with not knowing yet what the summer holds for us. But as well as just momentum for the upcoming school year, we have, I think, 11 students going on summer missions. I'd say about half of those internationally. And so the momentum that's built from that is awesome because they come off of a summer of huge spiritual growth and evangelism every single day, and then taking that onto the campus is awesome. And so just that we would have a ton of momentum, that those students would have a just rich time on those summer missions, and then come back telling all of their friends about it and just building this momentum for the fall semester. So I'd say those are our biggest prayer requests.
It's really good to know how to pray for you and get an idea of what this is going to be like. It's wonderful that they are our own folks going into this ministry. Jordan is a local girl, and Abe is a transplant, but they are members of our church, and so it's wonderful to be able to send them up over the mountain to do that. We want you to feel fully supported by us, 100%, and we are behind you, and we are going to be praying for you, not just today as we commission you, but into the future. Now, I want to invite everybody to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. We're going to elongate our break from the Gospel of Matthew one more week, this time not going to the Psalms, but to the end of one of Paul's letters to the church at Colossae. Chapter 4 of Colossians, just verses 2 through 6, very brief, 5 verses this morning. You can find that on Pew Bible page number 1167. If you don't have your own Bible, grab one of the black books in the rack in front of you and turn to page 1167. Find Colossians, that's the book. Find the chapter, that's 4, that's the big number 4, and then look for the little verses 2 through 6. This is in the so what section that normally comes at the end of Paul's letters, where he gets really practical. You may have noticed that Paul does that. He writes about what's true, and then he gets to the end and he says, therefore, or Here's so what? Here's the implications of what we've learned so far. It's right after that section about faith at work or worship at work that we're often quoting about working for the Lord, not for men. And that's true for all of us, right? Whether we are campus missionaries or pastors or anything else, right? We're all supposed to do our work as working for the Lord. Well, this next part is also for all of us, not just for those who are campus missionaries or pastors or evangelists. Paul is talking to the whole church when he writes Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Let me read it to you and then pray, and then we'll apply it to the Scasels and to the rest of all of us. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. We know that your word is looking into us. As we look into the mirror of your law, the perfect law that gives freedom, it often says, you need to change. Help us, Lord, to not just be hearers of the word that say, yep, yep, I need to change. But help us to be doers also that look at this mirror, look into your word, have it look into us and repent, change our ways, live a new way because we've looked into your word. We pray this not just for Abe and Jordan, but for all of us. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've just got 2 points of application for us today from this commissioning message. And they are for all of us, not just for Abe and Jordan. Application point number one. Pray for open doors. Pray for open doors. Verse 2 said, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Very simple, right? I think there are at least 4 ways that we are to pray here in these 3 verses. The first is to pray specifically. Paul asks that they pray for 2 specific things. The first is in verse 3. Pray specifically for open doors for the gospel. And the second is in verse 4. Pray specifically for a clear proclamation of the gospel. Let's think first about these 2 specific prayer requests. Pray specifically for open doors for the gospel. Look down at verse 3. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. That's kind of the theme this morning. I believe there are doors opening for Abe and Jordan at Penn State that we need to pray open. Okay? That is our prayer request. This means to focus our prayer times on asking God to create opportunities for the gospel to go out. They've just shared a few of them already with us. Literally, verse 3 could be translated, pray for us that God may open a door for the word. Open door for the word, for the gospel. You and I are specifically to ask God to open up doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we do that? What percentage of your prayer life, what percentage of my prayer life is given over to praying for open doors, either for ourselves or for others? What percentage of our prayer life is given over to praying for open doors, God-ordained opportunities for the gospel to be shared with unbelievers? God wants you and me to pray specifically for open doors for the gospel. So, Abe and Jordan, you need to do that. As missionaries at Penn State, you need to be praying that doors will open at PSU for the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of doors at Penn State, right? And I think you meet on Thursday nights at the Hub, at the Freeman Auditorium, right? So as those doors open, be praying for the open doors for the message to go forth. And then there's a lot of dorm rooms and a lot of other places, a lot of doors at Penn State. We need to pray that they are open to the gospel. And church, we need to be doing that for them. We need to be regularly praying for Abe and Jordan. Lord, please open a door this week for Abe as he meets with students on campus. You say Wednesday and Thursday are specifically times that you do evangelism, right? So Wednesdays and Thursdays, let's be praying for open doors for them. We need to pray, Lord, please open doors for Jordan as she meets with young ladies on campus. But we don't need to just pray that for PSU, do we? Do they need Jesus over at PSU? Yeah. But do they need Jesus where you and I are going? Some of us are going to Penn State every weekday, but others of us are going lots of other places. We need to be praying for that in our own lives. We need to pray, all right, Keith, we need to pray that the doors don't open at your work. Is that what we're saying, right? I can see what that the little joke going on over there. He works in a prison, okay, so let's Don't pray for those particular doors to open when they aren't supposed to. Yeah. But doors to hearts, for sure. Do you pray this for your family members as they go off to school or work in the morning? Lord, often we pray for safety, right? We pray for a safe day at work or a safe day at school. Great, let's pray for that. But let's also pray for opportunities. Lord, would you open a door for my daughter so she can share Jesus with someone in the hallway or the cafeteria or during a break? Lord, I pray for my husband as he heads over the mountain to work. I pray that you would open a door for your gospel so he can boldly share the life-giving message of Jesus Christ with a coworker, a client, a customer, a supervisor, a lunchmate. We need to pray specifically for open doors. God says to do it right here. That's one of the reasons why we have the harvest prayer time once a month. Here at Lance Free Church, we pray for those who need Jesus by name, and we pray for open doors that the gospel would reach them. Do we do this for ourselves? Lord, I'm heading over to Walmart this afternoon. Would you open a door for your message while I'm at the store? I'm willing to be used if you will open the door. So often we neglect this simple kind of prayer that asks God to create opportunities for the gospel to be proclaimed. Little prayer bursts like that would make a big difference in our power in evangelism. Do you ever wish that you had more guts when it comes to sharing your faith? Yes? I know I do. I often wish that the fish would jump into my boat, right? I wish that they would ask me about the gospel. You know, if anybody asks me about the gospel, I'm on that like white on rice, right? I love to talk about Jesus, but I'm often a little nervous. You know, do they want me to talk about Jesus? What if they wanted you to? Well, do you ever pray for that? Do you ever pray that the fish would jump right up into the boat and say, here, catch me? Abe's a fisherman, so I've got his attention finally. We need to pray specifically for open doors for the gospel at PSU. And wherever we are. The second specific prayer request here is to pray for clear proclamation of the gospel. Look down at verse 4. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You hear that word clearly? Pray specifically for a clear presentation of the gospel. One that is not hindered by a lot of excess stuff. One that is hearable, one that is focused and plain and unambiguous and crystal clear. Pray that the gospel goes out clearly. This is really important as we pray for people that are sharing the good news, like Abe and Jordan and the crew folks that they work with. There is so much that could be taken wrongly when we share the gospel. A lot of distortion could enter into the message. And this is a prayer request that the gospel would come out plain and unmistakable in its truth and glory. Is this little booklet familiar to you? Some of you are like, yep, seen that one before. Crew is world famous for these little booklets. This was another one of Bill's bright ideas. Aha, I got it in again. Have you heard of the four spiritual laws? Number one. Just as there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, so there are spiritual laws that govern your relationship with God. God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. Law number two, man is sinful and separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. Law number three, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Through him, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. And law number four, we must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. This is just one way of making the gospel clear. That's what we need to pray specifically for. Have you prayed this way recently? Lord, I know that I'm being called to share something about Christ with my neighbor. Help me to know exactly what to say so they can understand. Do you ever wish that you had better answers for people's questions? Verse 4 tells us not just to wish for it, but to pray for it. You and I are called to specifically pray for a clear presentation of the gospel. So let's pray this way. Lord, I pray for Abe as he speaks to students this coming Thursday night. I pray that he would have clear thoughts and clearly express them. Lord, I pray for my wife as she meets with her friend for coffee, that she would not only open a door, that you would not only open a door for the gospel in that meeting, but that she would share the gospel clearly, and it would be right there plain as day for her friend to consider. Because see, nobody gets saved without the gospel. So the gospel needs to be as clear as we can get it. Number two, we need to pray devotedly. Pray specifically and pray devotedly. Verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Don't just pray occasionally for open doors. Don't just pray randomly for clear presentations of the gospel. You can do that, but don't just pray haphazardly. Pray devotedly. The Greek word rendered here, devote yourselves, is a very strong word. It's a word that was used for people who joined the military and devoted themselves to the service. Yesterday was Armed Services Day. Are military members kind of casual about being involved in the military? Oh, I think I'll defend the country sometimes, you know, when I feel like. If I feel like it today, I'll get up and stand in harm's way. Is that how that works? No, they are devoted to it. It's a word that was used of a boat that was always at ready for someone to use. Constantly, steadfastly, faithfully, staunchly, devotedly, Paul says, pray. In verse 2, he has in mind prayer for all kinds of things. Prayer for our spiritual lives, prayer for our finances, prayer for our relationships, prayer for our families, prayer for our church, our businesses, our government. You and I are to get devoted to prayer. In this case, it also means to pray regularly, consistently, disciplinedly, and devotedly for open doors for the gospel. Praying without ceasing for the good news. Praying systematically, faithfully, habitually, orderly, devotedly for the gospel. So here's our question. Do we have a time set aside to pray? Are you devoted to prayer? It isn't just a good idea. It's vital for our lives. It's crucial for our witness. It's where the power is, and God told us to do it right here in His Word. If you don't yet have a prayer time, come up with a plan right now to get devoted. Abe and Jordan need us to be devoted for praying for them. And we need to be devoted to praying for ourselves. Specifically, devotedly, and number three, watchfully. Being watchful. Being aware of what God is doing and what God might be doing. Looking forward to Christ's return. Some of you were in Sunday school last week when we learned about being watchful for the return of Christ. Watchful is a buzzword for being ready for Jesus to come back. We need to pray in a watchful way, alert to God's agenda. Do we pray that God would keep our eyes open to what He is about to do? We don't know how much time we have until Christ returns. And so we need to be alert. We need to have our heads up, so to speak. We need to be watchful. And number four, we need to pray thankfully. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Thanksgiving is to be a constant attitude in our constant prayers. We need to see how little we deserve and how much we have, and let our gratitude spill over into thankfulness in our prayers. And we need to thank God in advance for how He is going to answer our prayers, especially for open doors. We need to pray for open doors, and then we need to say, thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide me some open doors. Help me to make a part of your gospel clear to somebody today. And Lord, however you answer this prayer, thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Now, I'm not saying that we should ask Him in advance for doing exactly what we have asked, because He refuses to be boxed in by our prayers. But we know that He loves to answer our prayers and always does what is best with them. So we can thank Him in advance. We can overflow with thanksgiving as we devote ourselves to prayer. Pray for open doors. Pray specifically, pray devotedly, pray watchfully, and pray thankfully. Application point number two, for both the Scaisels and for us. Walk through open doors. So we're to pray for these open doors, and then when the open doors open, we need to walk through them. It's not enough to just pray. We must pray, but we can't stop at praying. We must walk through the doors that God opens for us. Look at verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So Abe and Jordan, walk through open doors at PSU. Church family, walk through open doors wherever the Lord opens them before you. I see three ways we're supposed to do that here in Colossians 4. First, we need to walk the walk. Verse 5 again. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. The key word there is act, behavior. What your life says about Christ is almost as important as what your mouth says about Christ. So, Abe, what's really important is not just what you say, but who you are. Jordan, it's not just important what you say, but who you are. So live as consistent Christians. Remember last week when we dedicated Simon Quick? We looked at the previous chapter, Colossians 3, and we prayed for him, verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So that's right here in this context. That's walking the walk. That's living like a Christ follower. When a non-Christian sees someone living like that, watch out. Open doors are right ahead. The nearest context is what he said about work, right? What he said about doing our work as unto the Lord. When somebody sees us doing our work in a Christian way, that often opens the door for us to talk about Jesus. One of the greatest joys you can ever have is when someone takes you aside and says, there's something different about you. You aren't like the rest of us. What is it? I want what you have. Would you share it with me? College students are on the lookout for that. They're looking for the real deal. The door is always open for walking the walk before unbelievers. Then secondly, snap up the opportunities as they come. Snap up the opportunities as they come. Look at verse 5 closely again. Make the most of every opportunity. The word here for make the most is a word that shoppers would like. Do we have some shoppers among us? We love to shop. Some of you are like, not me. And others of you are like, uh-huh. And some of you are looking at somebody right now. Like, yep, that one's a shopper right there. You know the agora is the marketplace? Well, this is the Greek word here. Ex agorazomeno, right? So it's almost like Shopify it, right? You see this. Some of you are Black Friday shoppers, right? You get up early in the morning and you wait for that deal. And some of you are like, no, I would not do that. I'm going to sleep in on Black Friday. Give me Cyber Monday. That's a little bit more like my kind of shopping. But you see that deal and you're like, oh, I want that. And you grab it, right? You even give an elbow to the person next to you so that you get that deal. Well, that's what this word is. It's making the most of every opportunity. You see the opportunity and you grab it with both hands. That's what this word means. It means to snap up the opportunities when they come. When you see that open door, you walk through it. Or you leap through it, right? I see an open door. See, often we're like, is it an open door? I'm not sure. And then the door closes and then you move on, right? This says, you see that opening? Now, I'm not saying preach at people. It's not Bible thumping, right? But it is, stick your foot in that door and see if you can't get a little Jesus in. Abe and Jordan, Lance Free Church, if you want to be used by the Lord to see people come to faith in Christ, then walk the walk before them, and then snap up every opportunity that comes your way. And you do that by actually saying words. Because no one gets saved without words. Your walk is vital, but your words are also essential. So last but not least, share the gospel with words of grace and salt. Share the gospel with words of grace and salt. You see how he said that in verse 6? Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So grace here probably refers to the gentleness and the winsomeness with which you share the gospel. But it also probably refers to the content of your speech, that you would talk about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven by your works. You can't win your way there. You must trust in the grace of God. If you must receive what Christ did for you on the cross to be saved. It's a gift. It's grace. You don't deserve it. You deserve hell, but you offer grace. That's the message that you're taking. And you're taking it every time you see that opportunity. In Sunday school this morning, Wally told us about a friend of his who's in the hospital, and nurses come around. And so every nurse that comes around, he finds out if they know the Lord. And he says, open door, and it's open season to talk about the Lord with them and share that it's about grace. It's not about be a better person or work harder or be religious. Get yourself to church. It's about trusting in Jesus Christ and accepting his offer of grace. So that's what our word should be full of grace and full of salt. Now, salt could mean a couple different things. Salt was a preservative for life, so it could be life-full words, grace and life, words that communicate the abundant life Christ offers. Or salt was also, as it is today, something that adds flavor. So it would mean zesty words, words full of wit and life and tact and winsomeness, zing to it. Not boring would be another way of putting it. Don't sound like a broken record or a lifeless machine when you're talking about the greatest news in the world. Your words about the gospel should contain some passion, some spark, some twinkle of zestiness to enliven the conversation. Jesus Christ is the most amazing person that ever will live. There should be some razzmatazz when we take up his name in our conversations. Walking the walk, snapping up the opportunities, talking the talk, sharing the gospel with words seasoned with grace and salt. Abe and Jordan, I believe that the Lord will be opening many doors for you at PSU. This is your time to reach students for Jesus Christ. We're all going to pray for that. We're going to pray specifically, devotedly, watchfully, thankfully, and not just for you, but for us as well. So we're going to commission you today to walk through these open doors as the Lord opens them. Walking the walk, snapping up each opportunity as they come, and sharing the gospel with words full of grace and salt with the students at Penn State University and beyond.